here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com. Sitting here with Chicago saxophonist Sean Maxwell. How are you, Sean?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me in, Mike.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you could come in. I'm glad we could swing this before your CD release weekend at the Jazz Showcase, which is coming up February 20th through the 23rd, for your new CD, which the name of the group, I'm keeping everything straight in my head here, Sean Maxwell's Jazz Alliance.
Which is Sean Maxwell's Alliance.
I knew I had it wrong the minute I said it.
That's it. I'm out of here.
So Sean Maxwell's Alliance. Now, you seem to put out a new recording every year, it almost seems, right?
Just about. Really, I think my last disc was Urban Vigilante. I think that's about 2 years ago. But, you know, in the last 8 years,
Is it two years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think in the last 8 years, this is my fifth disc, so it evens out about a year. I like to write. I like to perform. And as long as I can keep putting them out, you're going to be stuck with them.
That's your marketing plan, your marketing slogan.
Yeah, I'll put that down.
And I'm sure Nick Eipers, who owns Chicago Sessions, which this is out on.
This is my third album on Sessions lately.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's going to enjoy that marketing plan as well, right?
Can we edit that out?
No.
I'm joking.
So tell me a little bit about this because, you know, you went from a quartet, the Sean Maxwell Quartet, which I'm sure many of our listeners have heard you, if not play live, you've at least heard, you know, the name and heard about the group. The Alliance, Sean Maxwell's Alliance, is it an 11-piece group?
It's a 10-piece group.
10-piece group.
And I still have the Sean Maxwell Quartet performing and working, and that's probably going to have a new disc coming out next year. But, you know, I wanted to do something a little different. And the Alliance is, it's put pretty much a bunch of guys that I've grown to be really good friends with. There's people like Stace McMichael and Mark Piani, two great bass players that, you know, my normal guy in my quartet is Bob Lovecchio, and he's fantastic. But, you know, from time to time, you know, on gigs, mm-hmm. not your full band can't make it. So you sub people in and out. And a lot of these guys have kind of come in and out on my band as subs, and I enjoy working with them. And, you know, I wanted to put them together in something different. It wasn't the quartet where we're doing usually kind of like, for the lack of a better word, head solo, head out.
Right.
We're doing a little more than that. But, you know, I wanted to do something that we could put together kind of like a little big band or almost an orchestra and really compose some things and build. We still have improvisation in there and everything, but I wanted to put something like that together with friends of mine that I don't normally play with. And then I started thinking, speaking of Stace McMichael and Mark Piani, you know, hey, those are two good friends of mine, great bassists. What if I put them both on the same gig?
Yeah.
So we ended up with two bassists. Chris Green
At the same time.
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I don't know. The jazz police may be after
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
but
two bass players at the same time. Oh, man.
It works. I promise you it works. And actually, I think it works very well. And they both do a great job on there. And as far as the bass players are concerned, the two of them kind of straddle between, well, at times, one is being the standard jazz bassist who's walking or comping throughout the tune. But they also take turns, and sometimes both of them are also working as a string section, both bowing and kind of them actually mixing in with the two French horns that we have in there. We kind of have we have a jazz group that also has a string and or brass section in there. They kind of all come together. But I was going to say that also Chris Green is in the group, another good friend of mine, a great saxophonist that, you know, we just don't end up on the same band together because he's usually fronting his group or I'm fronting mine. Dropped him in there. We have also two rhythm instruments, Stephen Leinard and Mitch Corso. You know, Stephen's a vibraphonist and mm-hmm. Mitch is a guitarist. And again, two guys that I've performed with in several other groups. I've sat in with their own groups and just putting them in with here. I mean, it's, you know, I think I referred to it jokingly around originally that the Alliance was going to be called the Super Friends because it's just all really, really good friends that I never get to work with. And I, you know, just wanted to get, and you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't want to forget and leave out Paul Townsend on drums, and also we have Kerry Johnsrud, who's a great vocalist mm-hmm. that I've performed with several other things again, but just wanted to get her into something a little different.
Well, before we get too far into talking about this,
okay,
why don't we hear a track so all of our listeners can get a taste of this. What tune are we going to hear first?
Why don't we start with the first track on the CD. It's entitled Fun 5 Funk.
Okay, let's take a listen to Fun 5 Funk here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB. back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers. You're listening to 90.9 FM WDCB. And, of course, more information and extended interviews of Chicago Jazz Revealed available on chicagojazz.com. We're here with Sean Maxwell, and we just heard a tune, Fun Five Funk, from his new release, Sean Maxwell's Alliance.
There you go.
11-piece band. With
10-piece band.
10-piece band. See, I keep wanting to put that 11.
Do you want to be in the band? You want a second drummer? We can do that.
You do have two bass players.
Yeah, why not?
I'm wondering why I wasn't invited. You know what? Maybe.
Yeah, that it's in the mail, man.
Maybe we could just play this, and then I could play along with it, and we could just re-record the whole thing. I'll call Nick Ipers from Chicago
Sessions.
I'm
sure he'll be all over
it.
He
would be ecstatic about hearing about my ideas, I'm sure. So the 10-piece band had to be, first of all, really different to write for. First, but second of all, when you take a listen to what these tunes sound like, it's a lot different than anything I think you've ever really written, isn't it? I mean, where did the inspiration to do something like this come from?
Well, yes, it is very different, and the writing process was obviously different as well. I wanted to approach it from, you know, we are still jazz musicians, you know, and mm-hmm. some people may not classify this 100% as jazz, or some might not even say any as jazz, but we are jazz musicians. We use improvisation, and there's a great deal of improvisation in there, but mixed in there, that's different from a lot of other jazz CDs, is you have a lot of really arranged and orchestrated parts. You know, that it's not just a free-for-all. Well, let me put it. Sometimes it's a free-for-all, right. But it's a scheduled free-for-all. And we meant to do it, and that's part of the tune. So it wasn't like we just opened it up and you wiggle your fingers and all this. But, you know, I wanted to approach something. And again, maybe it's the lack of a better way of putting it. I didn't want your standard head solo head. Like, okay, we're going to play this 12-bar phrase or this 32-bar phrase. Then we're all going to take 17 choruses, and then we're going to do it on the way out.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great, you know, standard, you know, way of doing jazz. But I wanted to go for something different. I wanted to get a song, an actual tune that was orchestrated and built on itself, and it would just it sounded almost, I wanted something that would sound almost like a combination of a jazz combo and almost a concert band or orchestra together, and give you that sense of power. And I just wanted to be different, and I think throughout, you know, the five albums I've put out, especially the last three, I think I've grown as a composer, and just I'm getting better and getting maybe some weirder ideas to try.
I mean, what inspiration do you draw from? Because, you know, right off the bat, just, you know, seeing the instrumentation and, you know, hearing some of this reminds me, I don't know if it reminds me, but I could see it being sort of, I don't even know if compared's the right word, but, you know, the Orbert Davis Chicago Jazz Philharmonic, where he's mixing in, you know, the classical and the jazz, and he's using all these different instruments. I mean, was there something that inspired you to do something like this, or did you just have it all bottled up in your head and it just came flying out one afternoon?
Sounds like a bad doctor's visit. Yes and no. You know, like the Orbert thing is fantastic, and I wish I could sit here and go, yes, I stole this or I got this idea from Orbert. But no, I got to be honest. No, I didn't have that as an inspiration. Although, again, that's great, and now that you bring it up, I should have said that. But no, I guess the truth is I've listened to a lot of musicians, not just saxophonists, just kind of moving in a more, for lack of a better word, modern direction. Mm-hmm. And I know modern sometimes scares people because, like, don't take my jazz away. And I don't want to make modern a bad word, but
I just think modern, though. I mean, modern has such a wide open term. I mean, you know.
Well, it's kind of like jazz itself. Jazz is a
right.
four-letter word that's very, very big. I mean,
right.
How many styles and different things can we categorize underneath that?
I mean, you know, because when you think of modern, I mean, I hear modern contemporary, right? What's modern contemporary? Well, some people might think, oh, it's Brad Meldow, it's Keith Jarrett.
Yeah.
Or it's a smooth jazz artist, you know? I mean,
yeah, it's a fine line,
you know? There's no way to really, you know, base. It always is such a tough thing to start categorizing things. So when you say modern, you know,
maybe the better
it is modern, but I mean, you know, I don't even know if you could categorize this.
No, well, maybe the better term is new. And that maybe makes me sound a little arrogant, and I promised anyone listening that that is not the case. I second guess myself every minute of the day. But no, it's new. It's definitely, you know what, maybe the best way to put it is we have 10 musicians that are all, we're all trained, you know, in jazz. You know, some of the like our two French horn players are more classical musicians, but we all have that education and training for background. But what we also bring is, you know, the age of the band is usually is an average of about early 30s to mid 40s, and a lot of us grew up in the 70s and 80s listening to funk and listen to like Michael Jackson and rap and rock. And for a year in my junior high career, I was like huge into Guns N' Roses. I mean, and all that stuff combined with all the training and all the experience we have playing and performing and writing jazz, classical, we kind of, when I was putting this together, I wanted that to be represented. And going back to that modern thing, you know, an old jazz, you know, you would not hear a tribute to Guns N' Roses, kind of how we have on this CD.
Right.
So, you know, what I had in my head was just getting, you know, a newer thing, a different thing for me, something that when I'm playing, I can really let not just my jazz influences out and everyone in the bands, but, you know, do you like Prince? Okay. How? Show me on this. Let's do it this way.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a listen to another track and come back and talk a little bit more. But what tune are we going to hear next? Do you want to do number two?
Yeah, let's do Ein's Kranz. And that's a shout out to my mother-in-law. I mean, the way I said it, that's just really bad, isn't it? I hope she doesn't listen on this, but
he said it with a big smile.
No. Just, you know what? Just to prove to everyone that I don't take myself too seriously and I like to have fun, all of my tunes are written for and about people, and they all have funny titles.
Yeah.
And Ein's Kranz refers to when my stepson was very, very little, when he was like 4 or 5. He picked up, she used to be a pretty avid smoker, and he picked her up and said, hey, can somebody move Ein's Kranz? Because her nickname was Ein. He thought they were Kranz. Anyway.
Well, it makes sense now.
Yeah, it's a kind of smoky, dark kind of floaty tune that I think you'll enjoy, especially now that you know the stupid story behind it.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that, to Ein's Kranz, here from Sean Maxwell's Alliance on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com. right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers. And we've got a few more minutes here with Sean Maxwell. We're listening to some tracks from Sean Maxwell's Alliance, Sean's new CD, which is out on Chicago Sessions. Of course, you can pick up, get more information at SeanMaxwell.com, and I'm sure it's also at ChicagoSessions.com. Now, you've got a CD release, just coincidentally.
It just happens to be.
You just happen to have a CD release party coming up at the Jazz Showcase February 20th through the 23rd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the matinee at 4 o'clock on Sunday in addition to the 8. Are they doing 8 and 10 or just 8?
It's 8 and 10 p.m. sets Thursday through Sunday with a special 4 p.m. matinee as well on Sunday.
And so that's going to be the first time you actually debut this music live and in front of public.
Oh, wait, public are coming?
Hopefully that's the plan.
Yes.
That's
I'm joking.
Here.
Yes. No, this is going to be our debut, and we're releasing with the CD, and we're actually pretty excited. I can't wait for it to happen.
Well, now, something like this, too. I mean, first of all, I guess let's back up a little bit. Just putting this kind of a recording session together had to be an enormous undertaking. Once you write the charts, once you come up with the concepts, once you put all the tunes together, now you've got to coordinate schedules. Now, did you do all this live, like, with everybody there? No,
there are a few overdubs, but we did, you know, 99% of it live. We recorded at Hinge Studios in Chicago. And, yes, this has been in the working for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
I've been writing and arranging. We've been rehearsing, and I've been, you know, tweaking things here and there. I've really, maybe my French horn players and bassist will disagree, but I've become really good at writing for French horn and bass. I've learned a lot that can't do some things that perhaps a saxophone can. But, you know, no, it's between writing and getting everything together. Then when we got to scheduling 10 people for a recording session, oh, yeah, that was a ton of fun. But now everyone in the group, besides doing a great job of playing and bringing, you know, the energy that they do to this disc and the solos and everything, first of all, everyone on this disc, I'm truly... I hate to say truly blessed because I sound like a baseball player, like truly blessed. Anyway, but I'm blessed to have these guys in the group because everyone worked really hard and they did a fantastic job and I'm happy with that. But they've also been very good about, you know, getting back to me, and everyone was, I think, very excited about the project. So, yeah, scheduling 10 people was a bit of a pain in the butt, but I think it could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah, well, I mean, how often do you have to get together to rehearse this stuff? Was it an ongoing process? Because, I mean, you're writing this stuff. There's no way to really hear it.
Well, I wrote a lot of tunes, and we ended up with 18 tracks on the CD. And I think going into rehearsals, I had about 6 or 7 tunes written and knowing what I wanted to do. And yes, some of them worked out and I was like, okay, that's it. And then some things as we're rehearsing it, I'm what I'm hearing in my head becomes a little more clearer. And then I know, okay, this is the right direction, or you know what? No, I'm going to change this a little bit. So it was an ongoing process. And that's kind of why it's taken as long as it has. You know, again, from the first rehearsal of the Alliance, I want to say that was about maybe two and a half years ago. And I originally wanted to put this disc out about a year ago, but it just wasn't ready. And so we've been rehearsing and working quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's not a thrown together thing, and it's not something we're just, again, winging it. It's that we've worked very hard on this.
Well, so the CD release is at the Jazz Showcase February 20th through the 23rd. And I'm sure they can pick up copies down there.
Yes, the disc will be special for sale for $10 a disc at the release shows of any of them. We'll also have, it's going to be bundled together with any of our last Sean Maxwell CDs.
Nice.
And those, if you show up, you can see what the deals are on that. But you pretty much can get 3 CDs for less than the price of one. Normally they're $15, but at the showcase they will be $10 for that weekend.
Wheeling and dealing. I love it.
You know, I'm going to sell some used cars, dude. Do you need insurance at all, Mike?
You know, no, but I know when you got here you tried to sell me one of those fobs to get in and out of the building.
It was a rock I just picked up. So.
Well, so now your background, I mean, you're doing so much composition. was that your background? Where'd you go? Where'd you end up going to school for music? Or
I did go to school for music. I originally started at Juliet Junior College. I was there for a couple of years, okay, right out of high school. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I decided to go there, and luckily the instructors there, Jerry Lewis, was the fine arts department chair, and he kept me on the band path and, you know, got me. Actually, that's where I started playing saxophone. I played clarinet all the way through junior high and high school. But I was there, and then I went to transferred to Millikan University down in Decatur, Illinois.
Sure.
Where I had a couple of great teachers, and I took some arranging classes, but I never really was into composing. And it wasn't until later, after I got out of college and started playing gigs and just really cutting my teeth on improvising and just kind of getting there, that I started to kind of work it out. So
yeah.
I guess technically I've never had any formal training as a composer, although I've taken a lot of arranging classes. But I feel that as jazz musicians, if you're really playing and really improvising and thinking and doing these things, you're a composer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just kind of putting it to the pen to paper, and like, instead of, you know, taking a 6-chorus improvised solo, now I actually got to put it on paper, and then I have to live with forever what I put down there.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess jumping back to your college years, I mean, Millikan, I've heard of Millikan. It's a great school. I mean, it's a small school. So how was that? Was it beneficial to be at a small school because it was more hands-on?
For me, where I was at that time, yes. You know, I was late to really pretty much getting my act together. Like, mm-hmm. I went through high school, I played clarinet all through there, and I tell young students now not to live by what I did, but I never practiced. And I was still was, you know, first or second chair, and it was just kind of easy. And then, you know, I got to college, and that's really when I picked up saxophone and started running with that, started playing flute as well. Yeah, I needed that small school in Millikan and Decatur because I needed that extra attention and really needed that butt kicking. At the time, the sax instructor, I believe he's still there, Perry Rask, huge important guy for me. Dr. Dave Burdick, who I know is still down there, was teaching me arranging and worked with me with improv and some combo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time, he's no longer there, but there was a clarinet instructor, Bill King, that just, you know, those three guys. And I should also mention Randy Raymond, who's also still at Millikan. They were very nice and gentle, but they also, can I say, kicked the crap out of me on radio?
I think you just did.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Well, they pushed me really hard.
That's better.
And I apologize to anyone listening. But no, yes, to a long-winded answer to your question, I'm sorry for it. But yes, it was great for me at that time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I always wonder because, I mean, some people really love being around, you know, thousands of people when they're in a music school. I mean, like where I went, I mean, that's the thing that I was glad I went there. Because I was coming from one background, I went down there, and it was like, whoa. I mean, there was 4,000 jazz majors all of a sudden. It was like, you know. But on the other side of the coin, sometimes it really helps because you get that one-on-one. And so I'm always curious how everybody experiences, you know, how everybody's experience really helps them.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Millikan, it's so close to Chicago, too. I mean, you're not like, you know, 20 hours away. So were you still coming up and checking out shows? Were there influences up here in Chicago?
Kind of. Millikan's a little farther than you think.
Well, it's like about 2 hours.
Well, it's about three. I'd say three and a half from the city.
Okay.
So, I mean, we would make it up. And yeah, yes, we did that. But, you know, going with what you're saying, I think it's all about where you are at the time. And
right.
Again, if I could change, if I have that DeLorean with the time machine in it, I would go back and I would slap myself my freshman year in high school and just say, get moving. And it, you know, to any young listeners listening, you know, it's just, that's my, if I have any regrets of anything, it's just that I waited until pretty much halfway through my college career to actually get moving and to start practicing, really practicing, and start working things out. So, yeah, you know, Millikan was great for me. If I get that DeLorean, go back in time, maybe then I would be at a bigger school. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I just think that it's interesting because when you talk to different people that are all successful, like yourself, and you're doing stuff, you're putting out albums and everything,
thanks.
Everybody has their own, you know, their own path to get to that point. And I think it is it's good. And I love how you say, you know, for all you young musicians out there, you sound like Steve Stone. For all you young saxophone players out there.
But, no comment.
But, you know, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, everybody has to have their own path. But I'm in agreement with you, because if I would have started practicing nonstop the way I was when I was a senior in high school, when I was a freshman in high school, you know, I probably would have a radio show and own a magazine. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Well, although there's those things that you just didn't know existed at the time either.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure even if I was practicing my rear end off when I was, you know, in junior high or high school, it still wouldn't prepare me for the real life.
Right.
Of real life, you know, and which, you know, I guess I shouldn't and can't complain, because my life is very good. And it's made me into not only the person, but the player, the band leader, the composer that I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty happy with that. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we hear one more track from the recording? And what are we going to listen to on the way out here?
Well, fitting that we're going to end with a tune of mine that I call Radio Hit Number 4.
Radio Hit Number 4. Sounds like a winner here on Chicago Jazz Radio. Radio Hit Number 4. And this is from Sean Maxwell's Alliance. And, of course, you can hear Sean and the 10-piece band. Unless I get invited, there'll be 11. Probably just stick with 10, though.
We'll stick with 10, but we'll keep you on speed dial.
At the CD release, which is going to be February 20th through the 23rd.
Correct.
At the Jazz Showcase. And, of course, the Jazz Showcase is located at 806 South Plymouth Court. More information at seanmaxwell.com and chicagosessions.com. Thanks for coming in, Sean.
Yeah, thanks as always, Mike. I appreciate your support of your show and just having me in. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, let's take a listen to Radio Hit Number 4 here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, and chicagojazz.com.